Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskritya Naram Cheva Narottamam Devim Sarasvati Vyatsatattu Jaya Mudire Nastapaye Subhadrisu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Uttama Sloke Bhakti Bhavaiti Naistiki. So Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, Chapter 24, Text 54. Title of this chapter is Matsya, the Lord's Fish Incarnation. Sri Sukadeva Goswami is speaking here. So, let's go to the text. Sri Sukha Huacha. Ityu Tavantam Ripaptim. Bhagavan Adipurusaha. Masyarupi Mahambodha. Viharam statvam abravid. Sri Sukha Huacha. Ityuktavantam ripatim. Bhagavan adipurusaha. Masyarupi Mahambodha. Viharam statvam abravid. Sri Sukha Huacha. Ityuktavantam ripatim. Bhagavan adipurusaha. Matsyarupi Mahambodha. Viharam statvam abravit. Thank you. Sri Sukadev Goswami said, iti does uktavantam, being addressed by Maharaj Satyavata, repartim unto the king, Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Adipurusaha, the original person, Matsya Rupi, who had assumed the form of a fish, Maha Ambodo, in that water of inundation, Viharan, while moving, Tattvam Abravid, explain the absolute truth. Translation. By His Divine Grace, His Confounder Acharya, Srila Abhayasana Vinda Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada ki. Srila Prabhupada ki. Sukadeva Goswami continued, when Satyavrata had thus prayed to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who had assumed the form of a fish, then Lord, while moving in the water of inundation, explained to him the absolute truth. Please kindly responsibly repeat. Sukadeva Goswami continued, when Satyavrata had thus prayed to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who had assumed the form of a fish, the Lord, while moving in the water of inundation, explained to him the absolute truth. So there's no purport to this text, and I go to text 55. Purana Samhita Divyam Sankhya Yoga Kriyavatim Satyavattasya Rajasa Atma Guyam Ase Sataha. Translation: the Supreme Personality of God does explain to King Satyavrata the spiritual science known as Sankhya Yoga, the science by which one distinguishes between Mara and Spirit. In other words, Bhakti Yoga. Along with the instructions contained in the Puranas, the old histories, and the Samhitas, the Lord explained Himself in all these literatures. Text 56. Aswasidrishibhisakam atmatatvam asamsayam navyasino bhagavata proktam brahma sanatanam. Translation: while sitting in the boat, King Satyavrata, accompanied by the great sinly persons, listened to the instructions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in regard to self-realization. These instructions were all from the eternal Vedic literature, Brahma. Thus, the king and sages had no doubt about the absolute truth. Again, there is no purport, so text 57. Atita pralaya paya utitasa vedasi hatrasuram hayagrivam vedam pratyaharad dari. Translation: at the end of the last inundation, during the period of Swayambhuva Manu, the Supreme Personality of God had killed the demon named Hayagriva and delivered all the Vedic literatures to Lord Brahma when Lord Brahma awakened from sleeping. Text 58. Satu Satya Vrata Sattu satya vrato raja raja jnana vijnana samyutaha Vishnu prasad kalpesmin asid viswasato manu. Translation: King Satyavrata was illuminated with all Vedic knowledge by the mercy of Lord Vishnu, and in this period he has now taken birth as Vivaswata Manu, the son of the sun god. Purport: Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur gives his verdict that Satyavrata appeared in the Saksusha Manvantara. When the Saksusha Manvantara ended, the period of Vivaswata Manu began. By the grace of Lord Vishnu, Satyavrata received instructions from the second fish incarnation and was thus enlightened in all spiritual knowledge. Omagyana Tungarandasya, Yamajana Salakaya, Saksura Mirta, Jena Tasmani, Sri Guru Venamha, Suchetanya Manombistam, Stamfetam, Jena Bhutavi, Swayam Rupa, Kadamayam, Dadatiswa, Padantikam, Pandasi Krishna Chaitanya, Nichananda Suhoditu, Gududaya Puspavanta, Chita Chanavitamon. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pistaya Bhutale Srimad Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namine. Namaste Sarasvati Deva Gauravani Pacharini Nirvisesa Sunyavadi Pachati Adisatarini Vanchakalpatari Bhacha Kripa Sunbhya Devacha Patitanam Vaishnavi Bhiva Namo Namo. Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadara Sivasade Sri Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. So the series of verses that we just read, culminating in the 58th verse, is again a continuation of the amazing appearance of Matsya Avatar. Lord Vishnu appearing as a fish to give instructions to King Satyavrata. So sometimes we hear about the Lord's appearance and people wonder what's his business in the material world. He should stay in the spiritual kingdom. We are suffering here, so let's continue to suffer. But the point is, if we dearly love someone, wherever he may be, we want to be with them. If we don't really love someone from the core of our hearts, he might be facing some challenges, or she might be facing some challenges, and we disconnect from that person. So that is the difference between conditional love and unconditional love. So the Lord Krishna loves us unconditionally. And although by dint of our infinitesimal independence, we exercise that small independence in the wrong way, and we go in the wrong way, doing the wrong things, still, you know, he has that affection. So sometimes you see someone does the wrong thing and we become very infuriated. We are angry and, you know, or blast that person. But Krishna is not like that. He is the all-merciful Lord. So although the material world is not so conducive, over and again, Krishna makes his appearance. But what is the main reason for his appearance? Again, Krishna mentions in the Bhagavad Gita, his main business is to give pleasure to the devotees, to protect the devotees. Of course, there are other side reasons like, you know, annihilating the miscreants. But if it is just to, if it is just based on the principle of annihilating miscreants, one earthquake can do all of this stuff. One earthquake can finish everything. Or one inundation, flood. I mean, I remember last year also the flood in New York. And the people even, it hasn't come, people have to relocate. Of course, the one that took place in New Orleans, people were even warned, and some people, they felt, nothing will happen. And it came, and so many people died. So the point is, Krishna is very lovingly disposed to us, and his love for us is unconditional. And therefore, although we have chosen to do what we want to do, he still comes to this material world to facilitate our devotional growth. That's the main reason of his coming. And therefore, when he comes, he gives instructions to his devotees. And like when he appeared as Lord Krishna over 5,000 years ago, he instructed Arjuna, he instructed Uddhava, instructed, you know, the kings that he released from incarceration, from undue incarceration. And so generally people who come around Krishna, whether they are his friends, family members, wives, children, he had that compassion of giving them instructions. So when a sadhu comes in touch with someone, the idea is to be able to give them enlightenment. The purpose of even the Vedic literature is enlightenment. The purpose of the Lord's coming is also enlightenment. So either the Lord comes or his words are, as the Vedic literature, they are all serving one purpose, enlightenment. What is the result of enlightenment? When one becomes enlightened, he becomes completely averse to what is transpiring in the material creation. And what are those things that are happening in the material creation? Yes. Bhakta Vasala, what are some of those things that are happening in this material creation? What are some of those things you think that are happening in this material world and that is keeping us behind here? Attachment to material sense gratification. So the Lord or the sadhu, he comes to cut that knot. With what? Enlightenment. If someone is enlightened, he comes to realize, wow. So I've been doing things that are against my progress. If someone is not enlightened, they're just comfortable with what they are doing. So the whole idea of even the appearance of Marcia, here it's mentioned the second Marcia. In other words, there was a first Marcia incarnation. And that was the appearance of the first Marcia was to be able to deliver the Vedic literature back to Lord Brahma, because Hayagriva wanted to snatch it away. And the demons are very expert at that. Either the Vedas or the elixir of immortality in the heavenly planets, they want to take it by force. So in this very incarnation, the idea of the fish incarnation appearing was to give Satyavata enlightenment. And by dint of that enlightenment, Satyavata became self-realized. Lord Krishna mentions in the Gita, he told Arjuna that look at what you are seeing. This is just a figment of
my opulence. Look at all the stuff you're seeing. It's a figment of my opulence. And Lord Krishna also mentioned that he is yoga personified. He is mystic personified. And so he's demonstrating here before Matsya, appearing as a small fish, giving instructions, you know, put me in the pond. And he puts him in the pond. And then he expands. Goes beyond, you know, the volume of the pond. And he has to transfer him. Then he goes beyond that. He expands again. Then he goes beyond, to the ocean. What could be greater than, what body of water could be greater than the ocean? Yet the Lord became great, bigger than the ocean. Then such a water realized, wow. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So Krishna likes to take his devotees by surprise. If you think that Krishna is going to come through this door, he might come in through the window. And therefore it is important for us to be aware of the mystic opulence of Lord Krishna. Arjuna wanted to be rest assured, and for the sake of posterity, he demanded, all right, let me see that form. And Krishna manifests his universal form. Arjuna saw everything inside there, even himself, all the soldiers, everybody. He thought, this is too much for me. Go back to the original 200 form and let me enjoy our relationship. People don't like relationship that is based on awe and reverence. Arjuna was just frightful. And so, here also, you find that when Satyavata realized that this is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that awe and reverence was invoked. Therefore, he started praying. All of our worship, it's also based on all reverence. But we can't jump the gun. We can't say, well, you know, I'm a gopi. And I come before Krishna. I don't need to pay obeisance. I'm a gopi. Hey, Krishna, come here. No. Because we are following the path of the acharyas. So in all these texts here, you find the sum and substance is association, spiritual enlightenment, detachment. Association, from association we get spiritual enlightenment. The essence of spiritual enlightenment is to become self-realized, to attain Krishna, prema, purmato, mahan, pure love of Krishna. And therefore, Prabhupada has really kindly given us everything. We can't complain about anything. And so, the Vedic literatures are there. Prabhupada's instructions are there in his own purports. And if we follow the simple teachings, we will attain pure love of Godhead. I mean, it's just like every day you come to Mangarati, you're getting purified. That is association. You're coming to have darshan of the deities. You're becoming purified. You're here in Bhagavatam class. You're becoming purified. You're going about doing your services. You're becoming purified. So these are all part of the devotional culture packaged by Srila Prabhupada and has given that to us. Even as he's not physically there, that becomes his legacy. And so, we should remind ourselves, when we come together, we should remind ourselves, this world is not so juicy the way we think. Therefore, the Lord has come to enact different pastimes for us to reminisce, to remember, to reflect, so that we can discuss amongst ourselves about his wonderful pastimes. People want to talk about something when they come together. And if it is not about Krishna Katha, it's about Griham Katha. we are blessed by the best. To be initiated into the Krishna Katha community, and that is the Bhagavatam. And so, it is mentioned, Prabhupada mentions, that, you know, after this wonderful association with the Lord, it didn't end there. The Lord even awarded him a chance to rule over. He became Vivasvatamanu. So the Lord does not simply snatch everything away from us, detached, become dry, nothing. No, depending on our inner intentions, He will facilitate our achieving those inner desires. And ultimately, we'll go back home, back to God. I mean, just like the case of Dhruva. He wanted the kingdom. So, he met Vishnu. Vishnu appeared before him. But Vishnu did not snatch away everything from him. Alright, go back home, back to God. Alright, you want the kingdom. Alright, enjoy also. But, you know, after that, you come. After that, you come. So, we shouldn't think that devotional service is just a dry culture. You know, you have to give up everything. Give up this, give up that. It's not about don'ts. Ananda Maya Pyasa. The very essence of life and spiritual life in particular is enjoyment. Festivals. Tomorrow again you are going for another festival. Isn't it? So, the Master Avatar, Lord Krishna mentions in the Gita that his purpose of appearance is to protect the devotees. So there was an inundation, this universal destruction. Flawed. This is not, you see, when we hear about, you know, one flawed or the other, and we think, oh, this world is... There's never been a time that this world has not been undergoing some form of cataclysm. So here, in this very incident, the Lord has to come as the Master Avatar, make some provision for Satyavrata Muni and Satyavrata Maharaj to be saved with the saints and sages, the bodily boat. Krishna mentions in the Gita, Sarva Dhamma Parijaya Mamekam Taranam Vraja Aham Twam Sarva Papebhyo Moksha Yishami Ma Sucha Ma Sucha. We have a tendency to be unfaithfully fearful. Unfaithfully fearful. So, he could just come straight, but he wants to demonstrate his mystic power to invoke some faith in him. We need faith to thrive. So Krishna demonstrates all some of his mystic opulence just to be able to arouse some faith in us on him. I mean, it's again, like he appeared like the boa incarnation. Small stuff. And he kept expanding. You know, we read this, but sometimes we don't really reflect as to the reason for his doing this. He wants to show his opulence. So that we want to be associated with a great personality, someone who can protect us, someone whose activities are unfathomable, inconceivable. That invokes faith. If someone is just an ordinary person like Bhakti Vasudeva Swami, why you have to have faith in him? So Krishna comes and then he does all of these wonderful, wonderful activities. Why does he not just come as a big fish at once? Or why does he not come as a big bull at once?
wants to show that he has even the siddhis, the Lagima siddhi, the different type of mystic powers. Lagima means he can become bigger than the biggest. So Krishna also demonstrates that. We want mystic power, isn't it? We want something extraordinary. Krishna is the supreme extraordinary person. So he again shows here in this Matsya incarnation, from a small fish to a fish bigger than the ocean that the ocean cannot even contain. What again do we want to have the faith in Krishna? What do we want? Prabhupada would ask, what is the problem? Okay. Any comments or questions? Yes, Prabhu. Okay.
Because it's inspiring for book distributors to hear your first encounter with the Hare Krishnas. And it's actually very nectarian for us to hear that too.
Is there still time? Because I had the class. It's supposed
to have 5 minutes.
Okay. Eh? No, this is America. Is this, we are not in India. In India, you ask, What time are we closing the class? Madras, go on and talk. This is not America. Okay, so I thought, you know, my parents are Nigerians. I was born in Nigeria, and as a young man, I was working in the judiciary when I met devotees in 1983 in December. I met one, this devotee was distributing books, and then he just appeared. He appeared like someone who was, later I got to know about altar, you know, how the pujaris dress, you know. So he dressed very simple, no kutra on, and in the city of Lagos. So he just ties some chada with all these big tilaks. And so people were even frightened that, you know, because I saw some people, he was on an alley, and, you know, people were coming, but they were going the other way because they were afraid of, they were like scared of him. So as a young man, I like something that people are afraid of. So I went to meet this guy, and I challenged him. I said, what are you up to? So he calmly, you know, very humbly, he responded, he was distributing books, the spiritual books. So I glanced through, and then I saw some attractive titles. So I took some two literatures. I gave him some donation. So then I went to read those two books. I mean, like, when I went, because I was living by myself at that time. And when I went home, I couldn't sleep because I just spent the whole night reading those books. So, you know, I devoured them. So I was so much interested because they were intriguing questions in my life. I remember, so when I was 20, because of the questions I was asking when I was a kid, you know, my mom had approached me when I was 20 that, hey, you disturb everybody in this family with your questions. Now you're a big boy. Go into the world and find out answers to your questions. So then when I met this devotee, all of the questions that were bugging me in life, those two books answered all of them. All of them. Everything just became so clear. I was asking questions about life after death. I was asking questions about disparity in human society. Why some people are poor, why some people are rich. Some people are born blind, deaf, dumb. Some people are born homely. Some people are born, you know, with beauty. I asked those questions
in the church, at home, from teachers, nobody could really give me a vivid answer. And then those two are Prabhupada's books. They just gave me all of the answers. So then I traced their temple. I traced their temple that same December, before the Christmas, before the 25th, I traced the temple. And when I went there, I went for some Sunday feast. So I listened or participated. And then in January 1984, I came to the temple. I left. I spent like one weekend at the temple, you know, to acquaint myself with what the devotees are doing. And then in February 1984, I was on vacation from the judicial job. So I decided that I would spend my last 2 weeks of vacation at the temple. And so I went there. And then I was going out with the devotees for Harinam, on Sankirtan, and all this stuff. And then, the time was so short for me. I was reading so much that the whole period I was there, once I come back, I'll go and hide at the back of the temple and read until program time. Because if I go into the ashram, you know, the devotees are very friendly. They will come and disturb me. So I just went to hide. So then, after the 2 weeks, I just felt, man, there is so much more to learn here. So I went to put in the resignation at the office. And that was it. So I met the devotees like in December, middle of December. And in February, you know, I just resigned from the judiciary. I just resigned from my job and became a full-time in the temple. And so I got initiated by Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaj. And Bhaktivedanta Swami, I think a number of you know him. Papa disciples, they know him. And my science initiation was from Jayapatrika Swami. So the period is so short. Basically, a lot is going on in Africa in terms of preaching. And in right now, we have a number of sannyasis. Myself, Damodar Swami, another devotee, and another one is taking initiation this year. Another of Bhaktivedanta Swami disciple is taking sannyas in June this year. So Nigeria is like it's like the size of California. The whole country is like California, but with about 155 million people, and we have a How many Gaudiya Vaishnava sannyasis? I think about 5 or 6 Gaudiya Vaishnava sannyasis. Yeah. So, and then Bhaktivedanta, he focused on local preaching. So all of the temple managers and functional devotees in the west coast of Africa are local people, local blacks. And, you know, the preaching is still going on very strongly. I came to America in 2004 on the invitation of the Georgia Political Science Association to present the paper at their annual conference. I'm basically a scholar of applied management and decision sciences at the doctoral level. I've been preaching in the academy over the years. So it's actually because of academic program that I migrated to the U.S. when I came to the U.S. And I had some programs, so the devotees wanted me to stay to help. So I ended up being an American citizen, and as a sannyasi, I traveled around. But I'm mostly based in the East Coast, upstate New York, New Rochelle, where I stay with a Caribbean family. But I go to get an agri offer in New Vrindavan, and the D.C. area. So, thank you. Srila Prabhupada ki.
Did you have a question?
Why?
I met you before when you came here.
Yeah, I remember.
Yeah.
What's your name again?
Acharya now.
Right.